Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, what is this that I hear of thee? Render the account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. And the steward said within himself, what shall I do, seeing that my Lord taketh away the stewardship from me? It is written, calling each one of the debtors, he said, how much owest thou unto my Lord? 100 measures of oil. Take thy bond and sit down quickly and write 50. He said to another, how much owest thou? 100 measures of wheat. Take thy bond and write 80. It is written, and his Lord commended the unrighteous steward because he had done wisely. For the sons of this world are wiser for their own generation than the sons of light. There was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. The holy book I'd rather own than all the gold and gems that e'er in monarchs' coffers shone, than all their diadems. Yea, if the sea was chrysolite, the earth one golden ball, diamonds, all the stars at night, that book is worth them all. No soul has ever found relief in glittering bands of wealth. Gems dazzle not the eye of grief. Gold cannot purchase health. but here a blessed balm appears to heal the deepest woe. For those who read that book in tears, their tears will cease to flow. Gentlemen, listen to the story from Luke chapter 16 of two rich men. Hear ye the word of the Lord. What is this that I hear of thee? What have you done to my church? What have you done to my plan of salvation? What have you done to my Bible? In Luke 16, that is the question God asks of the unjust steward. Everything in the world belongs to God, so we are all stewards, whether you believe in God or not. Believer or atheist, you are a steward of God. Everything belongs to Him. The gospel is God's greatest treasure, and God wants to know, what is this that I hear of thee? Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. Actually, there are two rich men in Luke 16. The story of rich man number one instructs us all to invest our lives in the kingdom of God, and rich man two is the results, either good or bad. Regarding rich man number one, Jesus said unto the disciples, There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he was wasting his goods. And he called him and said unto him, What is this that I hear of thee? Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. In this case, the unjust steward, seeing he was about to be fired, called in the various creditors and asked, How much owest thou unto my lord? When he found out, he changed their accounts to less money and pocketed the rest for himself as a nest egg for his retirement. In the parable, the Lord seems to admire the unjust steward, not because he lowered the standards of what was right, but for the clever way he enriched himself. We sometimes do the same. Several years ago, a man stole $500,000 in cash, got into a plane, and parachuted out over the Rocky Mountains with his loot. No one has heard from him since. Every year, a group of people get together and drink a toast to him, not knowing whether he's alive or dead. They would not do what he did, but they admire him for doing it. We cannot help but marvel at some people who are clever enough to pull off such a scam. There is many an unjust steward in the Lord's church today. The Lord must marvel how they lower the standards of God's word on the plan of salvation. Was Peter right when he said to those who believed when they heard the first gospel sermon that they had actually crucified the risen Lord? When he told those believers to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the unjust steward says today, Well, as long as you believe and are sincere, don't worry about it. How the Lord must marvel at such insolence. There is a thoughtful statement of Jesus between the story of the two rich men. That which is exalted among men is an abomination before God. Then think for a moment of the question the unjust steward asked the creditors and apply it to ourselves. How much owest thou unto my Lord? How much do you owe the Lord Jesus Christ for dying on the cross to save your soul from hell? How much do we owe the Lord for sending someone to preach the gospel to us? How much owest thou unto my Lord for the priceless treasure of the Bible most never read, the Bible that people in other lands are begging to receive? How much owest thou unto the Lord here in America, where there are no restrictions for public worship and many cancel out attendance at the Lord's table on Christmas morning, when many in foreign lands are being tortured and murdered because they are Christians? Now, let us get right into this provocative statement of Jesus. Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. That question will come to all of us in various ways, for some in old age. One of these days, we will all be old, if we're lucky enough and tough enough. This world belongs to being what it is. You have to be very lucky to survive to old age. Most of us will never make it, but if you make it to old age, you will hear the voice in one way or another. Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. It will be heard also at a time of sickness or accident. The message is heard here because of the fragility of life. An accident or disease can remove a person at any age, any time. At such a time of a heart attack, a cancer, or an accident, we are reminded of our mortality and make all kinds of promises to God for deliverance. You see, it is easier to offer a sick body to the Lord than a well body. We hear it over and over again about people who have died suddenly or had a heart attack or accident. But if not dead, they are incapacitated and can no longer be working at full speed. They have heard the voice, even though it was unexpected. Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. It will come at a time for some when influence is lost. It is all too often that sometimes someone tells us of some spiritual leader who is overtaken in a fault through some indiscretion and has lost his influence. It may happen also to an elder or a deacon or some other church leader, and although they may not lose their job or have to move and leave town, his influence is gone just the same. He has heard the message loud and clear, unless he's too deaf to hear it. Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. Again, the message is heard loud and clear by parents. There is only a short number of years that a parent has to mold the life of a child. The day comes when the child assumes a little more authority, and then he's out on his own. However, for some it comes much earlier than supposed. Perhaps at the age of 10 or younger, parents seem to have no control whatever, and for whatever reason. At an early age, my dad had me to read aloud the Bible when he followed in another Bible. Day after day we read, and when he stopped reading with me, the habit was formed, and I never stopped. No doubt this was the reason that I'm in the ministry today. Every parent had the chance to lead a child in a similar way. If the opportunity is put off too long, the day will come, and all too soon it will be heard. Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. This message will come also at the moment of death. The time of death is perhaps the most deceptive of all. The devil told Eve in the Garden of Eden, "Thou shalt not surely die." Death is something that happens to everybody else, but not to me. I remember as a teenage boy how one day I told my best friend that I did not think I would ever die. He said that he felt the same way. At that time, a lifespan of another 50 years seems a long time. This is a natural feeling. It was not long after this that my friend got in a fight. Someone stuck a 38 in his chest and pulled the trigger. The devil lied. My friend died. As a preacher, I've had the funeral of many teenagers who thought they would never die. They did. Thou shalt not surely die. The devil lied. Thou shalt not surely die. Death is always something that happens to somebody else. The devil lied. The person across the street may die, but it will not happen to me. Thou shalt not surely die. The devil lied. The man next door may drop dead with a heart attack, but it won't happen to me. Thou shalt not surely die. The devil lied. The person across town may die in a wreck, but it won't happen to me. Thou shalt not surely die. The devil lied. You are one heartbeat from eternity when you pass a car at 50 miles an hour. If 3 feet is all that separates you from a head-on collision, then you are just 3 feet from being able to hear the angels sing, or from hearing the groans of the damned. That message could come any day or any hour. Thou canst be no longer steward. It will most certainly come, of course, at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all those who escape the other times, it will be heard on that day when the Lord returns. On that day, there will be no more opportunities to give or to win the lost, no more opportunity to preach the sermons or teach the Bible school lessons or to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, no more time to read the Word of God, no more time to guide children, no more opportunities to serve. You see, when the Lord returns, He will come with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and as far as the Christian is concerned, as far as the unsaved is concerned, that shout of the Lord when He returns can be translated, "Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward." That was Rich Man number one. Jesus said regarding Rich Man number two, there was a certain rich man. He had someone particularly in mind, a certain rich man. He was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. Then Jesus said there was another man in this saga, a beggar named Lazarus. Jesus mentioned his name. This is natural because the good shepherd calleth his sheep by name. Lazarus happened to be poor and sick and full of sores and was laid at the gate of the certain rich man and begged for crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Both men died. The rich man died and was buried. Ladies and gentlemen, I can hear the rabbi now as he preached his funeral. He said, what an inspiration this rich man was. Someone ought to write a book about his life. What an inspiration it would be for the young people. No wonder Jesus prefaced this story with a statement that he said, as I mentioned before, that which is exalted among men is an abomination unto God. You see, mankind has a way of classifying everybody. We judge people horizontally. We say there are three classes of people. The first class is top line, upper class. The second class is middle line, middle class. The bottom line is the lower class. God judges with a vertical line. There are only two classes of people before God, the saved and the lost. Rich or poor, famous or unfamous, the fact is everybody is going to heaven or to hell. Just two sides. When the beggar also died, Jesus said he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. This thought has come into our hymnology. Sometimes we sing, O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day, ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. Jesus said the rich man was in torment. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Abraham's bosom was the happy side of Hades, and the other side was torment. The rich man had three things to say after he died. The first thing the certain rich man said after he died was, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am in anguish in this flame. Abraham told him to remember his life on earth and also the plight of Lazarus. He told him about a great gulf that separated the saved and the lost. The rich man spoke a second time, Send Lazarus to testify to my five brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. Abraham told him there would be no need to send Lazarus back to earth, since the five brothers could find all the answers they need in the Bible. Still a third time the rich man spake, he said it would be better to send Lazarus back, and they would repent, if they listened to somebody from the dead, a resurrectee. Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, this story was told by Jesus. And as in this story, millions of people are dying every day and going into the same life after death as these two men. Remember, the spirit world is called Hades, and paradise was the heavy side where the saved rested in bliss. Now, here are some conclusions of this story that Jesus told. First, repentance is necessary. A certain rich man said, if one go unto them from the dead, they will repent. Evidently, from his knowledge of life style of his five brothers, they were not fit candidates for paradise. Think of it. Six brothers, one was in hell and five more on the way. They needed to repent. In the first gospel sermon preached under the new covenant, Peter put it this way. As he spoke to those who actually believed they had crucified the Lord, he said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another conclusion from this story that Jesus told is the all-sufficiency of the Bible. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Evidently, the five brothers had copies of the Word of God. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. At this time, we also have Jesus and the apostles. The rich man said, nay, Father Abraham, they will hear if one goes unto them from the dead. Abraham said, no, they won't. If they won't listen to the Bible, they will not be persuaded even by a resurrectee. The rich man thought his brothers needed a better revelation, but God has a different view. God says, if you won't believe the Bible, you won't believe anything. The Bible is the only message that God will ever give us. There is no other book. Another conclusion to this story that Jesus told is there is no second chance. Abraham told a certain rich man, even if Lazarus wanted to come over, or if you wanted to go see him, there's no way it could be arranged. There's a great gulf between the two places, a gulf that is uncrossable. That one statement of God completely demolishes purgatory. There is no second chance. There is no hope beyond the grave. In this life, we have hope. Paul tells us there is one hope of our calling. And if that one hope fails, there is no other hope we can fall back on. Jesus is it. Another conclusion about this story that Jesus told is the consciousness of a person after death. Sometimes we hear of people dying in their sleep, and somebody says that's the best way to die because that way you don't know what happened. Actually, that's not so. Even if a person is in a coma at the moment of death, they will be free from the flesh and shall be fully aware where they are at that moment. Notice Jesus said the rich man died and was buried. His body was in the grave. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham and Lazarus. He could still see, even though his eyes were in the grave. His ears were in the grave, but he could still hear. His body was in the grave, but he could still feel. His tongue was in the grave, but he could still thirst. He was conscious after death. 100 years from now, we will be just as conscious of where we are and what about our surroundings are as we are at this moment. The real us will still be alive. We can count on being conscious the moment after we die. Another conclusion in this story that Jesus told is, hell is not just for big sinners. From the standpoint of the Christian, there are a lot of easy ways to go to hell. It would seem to me that one way to slide right in would be to have an abortion and not repent. Another way would be to become a sexual deviate and not repent. A drug dealer would be a surefire way to go to hell. No pimp, no pun intended, ladies and gentlemen. A child abuser would land you right in the front row of hell. No problem. You can add your own list of easy ways to go to hell. The list is long. However, you will notice that the certain rich man was none of these, and he still made it. He was none of these, apparently, He was very religious. Abraham called him son. Son, remember. Think of it. Some people today going to church every Sunday and on their way to hell. One more conclusion from this story that Jesus told is remembrance. Abraham told the rich man to remember. What did he tell him to remember? He said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things. He remembered his lifetime. In eternity, we will not be encumbered with the drowsiness of the flesh or the weakness of our intellect. We will have total recall of everything. Every second of your life will come before you in bold relief. Son, remember. You will be able to remember every word of every sermon you ever heard preached on this broadcast. Son, remember. You will be able to remember clearly the plan of salvation of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and how we need to respond to the gospel. Son, remember. Studdard Kennedy has a poem that speaks of the person who lives for this world only. He says, I would build me a perfect island home, sweet set in a southern sea, and there I would build me a paradise for the heart of my love and me. I would plant me a perfect garden there, the one that my dream soul knows, and the years would flow as the petals grow that flame to a perfect rose. I would build me a perfect temple there, a shrine where I might dwell. And then I would wake to behold my soul, damned deep in a perfect hell. Ladies and gentlemen, things that the unsaved will remember in eternity will be the hell of hells. Think again of these words of Jesus to the rich man. How much owest thou unto my Lord? Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.